I like this light up here. That way I can see. I want to speak on a subject for a moment that's going to touch every one of us, including myself. Something that people deal with day in and day out. This is a struggle that man has to endure because man is human. You know, at times we seem to have these feelings where I cannot forgive someone for what they've done to me or what they are doing to me. The title of this lesson is, Let It Go. Just let it go. And that's hard for all of us to do, is to just let it go. Here's my first point. Some things in our past make it hard to let it go. And I know you probably have struggled with that and are struggling with it. I struggle with it. We have things in our past that are just hard to just let it go. Well, here's another point. Some people will hold to the past and they just will not let it go. And when people hold to the past and will not let it go, that makes it difficult to serve God. Here's the next point. Some people will not forgive themselves even when God has. Now, that's the point that we need to really, really home in on. When God forgives us for what we have done in the past, when you go into that watery grave of baptism, you went into that watery grave of baptism, and you came in contact with Christ's blood, and Christ's blood took away all the sin that you committed previously. And when Christ's blood took away your sin, and God said, I forgive you, and whatever you have done, you need to just let it go. Just let it go. Well, here's another point. Some people will allow their past life to take over and keep them from serving the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 9, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he began to list various sins that man had engaged in. Now, these were the members of the church there in Corinth. And Paul pointed out to them the various sins that they were involved in, and they practiced these sins. And then Paul said, and here's what he said. Paul said, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're cleansed, you're sanctified in the name of the Lord. In other words, he's saying, this is the way you used to live, but you don't live that way any longer. You may struggle with it, but you don't live that way any longer. In other words, just let it go. Just let it go. You know, we find it hard to forgive ourselves because we think, oh, I just don't see how in the world God can forgive me because I have been so bad. Well, if God would not forgive us, then Christ's death is in vain. And Christ's death was not in vain because that's the reason he died. He died for sinners like you and like me. That's the reason he died. He died so that we can let it go. That's the reason he died. Here's another point. Some people hold grudges. They just don't want to forgive. Somebody hurt my feelings. And I tell you right now, I am not going to forgive them. I don't care if they ask me. I will not forgive them. You know what's going to happen to a person who will not forgive someone? They'll die and go to hell. I'm just telling you like it is. They will. And I don't say that smiling, because we have to forgive. If we don't forgive, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if we don't forgive, then our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. That's important, to just let it go. Somebody do you wrong financially, let it go. Someone do you wrong and they have wrong you in some kind of way to ruin your reputation, which your reputation is impeccable because you know how you live. Let it go. Just don't hold grudges. Don't hold grudges. Because holding grudges does nothing but ruin your life in your spiritual walk with God. Some people get in their mind that they don't, for some reason or another, they're going to make it hard on somebody, and that person's doing the best they can, and they see someone, and they say, well, I don't like that person. I don't even like the way they look. And I'm just going to make it hard on them. Now, I'm not talking about you brethren. I'm just talking about some people. I hope you brethren are not doing that. I'll try not to do that. But you look at somebody, you look at a person, a person look at someone with a different skin color. And they look at that person's ethnic background, a different one. And they say, I just don't like the way they look, and I'm just not going to have anything to do with them. Well, you know who's having the problem? That person is having the problem. There's something else about my own personal example. My own personal example. Now, I'm telling this, but you see, I'm talking to you now. We're just having a lesson, and we're learning, and we're studying. But here's what happened to me in my own personal life. And I just love that I have not let that control my life. There was a time when I was with my friend, and we were going over to see someone, to visit with them, and he's a white guy. And the man, he's white in the family. He came to the door, and here's what he said. He said, you come in. He looked at me, and he said, you stay out. But you know what I did? I just let it go. I let it go. If I didn't let it go, I wouldn't be standing here right now talking to all of y'all. Because I'd be holding grudges saying, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to have anything to do with these white folks. I don't like the way they treated me, and I'm going to hold my grudge, and I'm going to holler racism, and I'm not going to let it go. But you got to let it go. You just have to. Because you do not take out on a crowd of people about what one individual has done. Now, we see that a lot in the news right now. And it's getting bad. It's getting really bad. You know what those people need to do out there in the street, and they talk about them on the news? They need to let it go. Just let it go. And don't let that come into the church. Let it go. Well, another thing that happened to me one time. I say I'm just talking about letting it go. Because I went to this congregation in Tennessee, and I was going to sit there and get ready to participate in the singing. I was going to lead a song. And in the parking lot, this lady told the lady, the people that brought me, said, it's not good for him to be here. And the son came and said, Alvin, we're leaving. I said, why? They said, we're just leaving. And the reason we left, because that congregation did not want me there because of my skin color. But did I hold grudge? You don't hold grudges. You let it go. You just have to let things go because sin is going to try its best. The devil is going to try his best to hurt you in the process of holding grudges. Let it go. Somebody have done wrong in life, and people keep bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up. You know who's going to have the fault? The one who's bringing it up. You have made your amends with God. You repented, and you ask God to forgive you, and that's all that really matters. You know, isn't it wonderful that we're not going to judge each other in the judgment day? Because man won't let it go, you know what we would be doing? Sending every one of us be sending each other hell. Because we won't let it go. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God that forgives us? He will not hold it against us when we ask forgiveness. And then that other person standing on the side and looking and thinking, oh, look what he did. Look what she did. Just keep bringing it up. Keep bringing it up. Well, they don't matter. They don't matter. You know why? Because they will not decide your destination. God decides your destination. And God is the one who will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. I am so glad that I will not have to stand in judgment pending on what somebody think of me. I'm glad. And I know you are too. Let me look at some scripture examples. Look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to camp out here. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to stay in the book of Philippians for a moment. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Here's what Paul said. You see, Paul, he gave reason why he was able to let it go. Because before Paul became a Christian, he went about and he persecuted Christians, and not only did he persecute them and put them in jail, but he had them killed. He had them killed. And we think the world of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he was a wonderful person, but not always. Now, he did follow his conscience because his conscience was telling him, here's what you need to do as a Jew, and you take these Christians, and you take them out, and you kill them. He did it. And then the Lord stopped him on the road. And on the road to Damascus to go to kill those Christians, Jesus said, wow, you persecuted me. And then he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. He said, what would you have me to do? He said, go into Damascus. And I want you to wait. And someone's going to come and tell you what you need to do. Paul became a Christian in Acts 22:16 when Ananias was talking to him. And Ananias said to him, while he was studying with him, Ananias said, now while you waiting, arise and be baptized and wash away all your sins. Now all the things that Paul did prior to his baptism, all of it was taken away. Isn't that interesting? In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it said that Christ's blood washed us from our sin. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Here's one reason why Paul was able to let it go. Paul said in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead. Notice verse 14. Now, I need to practice this. I need to practice every day. And I'm sure you all as well. But notice verse 14. Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the reason Paul was able to let it go, because Paul was saying to the brethren that he wrote to, he said, forgetting those things which are in the past. When you become a Christian, forget about it. Just let it go. If you were an alcoholic and you became a member of the Lord's church, though you were wrestling with that because you have to, because you're human and that desire is there, and you wrestle with that, and you don't succumb to it, but you are wrestling with it, you're forgetting those things that's in the past. You can let it go because God has forgiven you. And if you've done anything else that was sinful toward God, and when you became a Christian, God forgave you. He forgave you for what you have done. And if you fall back into it, then you need to come back and ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you again. Now, I do know of a religious group. I don't call names from the pulpit. I think that's tacky. It's rude. But I know of a religious group that they practice. Once you step out of line, you have lost the Holy Ghost, and you can never be forgiven. Now, would you want to be a part of a group like that? Boy, I wouldn't want to be a part of a group like that. No way would I be a part of it. I'm glad that I know the Bible tells me that I can let it go when God forgives me. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Another reason why Paul was able to let it go. He said, not that I speak in regard to me, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, Paul said, I've gone through all of this. But notice verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That's the reason Paul was able to let his past go. What about you? As brethren, Christian, God has forgiven you because of Christ's blood. In your obedience and baptism, you can say, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me the strength. Now, here's where we gain that strength. We gain it by studying this.
We gain that strength by living by it.
Oh, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to stumble.
Somebody's going to make us angry sometime. Somebody's going to disappoint us sometime. But we can do all things through Christ because He gives us the strength.
The only way you can know about Christ is to study about Him. You have to open this book.
And you got to study.
Well, here's another point about letting go. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, here's what Paul had to say. The reason he was able to let it go. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, I know that this life right here is not eternal on this earth. For me to live, I live for the Lord. And when I die, I'm going to gain it all. Now, see, we have something to look forward to that the world does not have to look forward to. The world needs the gospel. That's the reason a person who's a Christian, they can die with a peace of mind. Because they know that when they leave this world, this is not the end of it. I'm going on to be with God. That's the reason Paul was able to let it go. And that's the reason we can let it go. Here's another point about letting it go. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, notice what Paul said, the reason he was able to let it go. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. He said, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to let it go, and you want to put forth that practice of Christianity, then look out for someone else's interest. That's all you have to do. If someone is hungry and they need food, you cook for them. Invite them into your house. Tell them to come over to fellowship with you because you're looking out for their interest. You know, I went to a funeral not long ago. Well, this Christian lady, I went into her house and I said, oh, Jean, I'm hungry. She said, oh, yes, I am too. She said, cook us something. I said, well, all right. You know, I wanted to eat, but I had to cook. She said, I want you to cook that chicken and that broccoli that you fixed before. I said, well, okay, I'll do that. And so she said, now, wasn't that good? I thought, yeah, I was the one that had to work. I thought I was hungry. And there was a lady that lived here in the right here in Madison County. I would go to her house years ago and I wanted me some banana pudding. You know what I had to do? Take my banana. I took my banana with me and she would cook the custard. We'd sit there and talk and talk. And she had that banana pudding ready. But I had, well, she looked out for my interest, but I had to bring something in return. You see, that's how we do. We fellowship with each other. And I tell you right now, I got bedrooms all over this county where I can go and sleep. I do, really. I got all kinds of bedrooms all over this county. You know why? Because they're looking out for my interest. They're looking out for my interest. And so, that's what it's all about. Everybody taking care of each other. Now, isn't that wonderful? Oh, I got to tell you, all of them are white, too. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, here's another point that I want to make. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Notice Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now I said, I don't know why. I got a lot of these black brethren. I can go to their house and knock on their door too. But notice this here. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to make a point about this. Our citizenship is not here. We do not belong here. We don't belong in this world. Now, we're here for a period of time, but we don't belong here. That's the reason Paul said he was able to let it go, because his citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship, when we become Christians, it's in heaven. When I went to Jamaica, I went over to Jamaica for a Bible campaign. And I was there for a period of time, but I knew I wasn't going to live there. You know why I was able to let things go when I was in Jamaica? Because I knew I was going home. I knew I was going home because I looked across those waters and I thought to myself, across those waters, my friends and my family, occasional enemies, but I looked across and I thought, my people are over there.
My people are over there, not here in Jamaica. Now, we look like a citizen of this world. We look like a citizen of this world, but we're not. When I was in Jamaica, I looked just like the Jamaicans. And when they saw me walking the street, you know what they saw? A Jamaican. But little did they know, I did not belong there. You see, I was able to be content and to let things go because I knew I was leaving there. Well, here's another point. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, that's the reason Paul was able to let things go and forget about the past, because he's meditating on the things that he listed. And that's the same with us today. These are the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace, he will be with you. Now, in my conclusion, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. I like to say conclusion because I want the people to know where I'm going. Because if I didn't say conclusion, you think I'm just going to keep going. And keep going. And a lot of times when I say conclusion, folks start straightening up, getting their ties ready. And they're getting ready to sing because I'm getting ready to conclude. But this is a long conclusion. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 19, he said, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what Paul is saying right here? I don't know your need. You don't know my need. God knows our need. You know why you're able to come to church and be faithful, even though you're struggling with power bills? Because God knows your need, and he will take care of it. You know why you're able to come to church and you can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and in the back of your mind you're thinking, how am I going to be able to feed my family next week? Because God knows your need. You see, we put our trust in God, everything is going to be all right. Just let it go. I'm giving you these two examples, and then the lesson is yours. Example number one, of letting it go. I used to work in the hospital, taking food to the people in the room. Well, this one man, he was very, very ill. He was so sick until he couldn't stand for someone to come into the room. And this lady that worked with me, her name Bonita, and she was from up north. You cross a woman from up north, you don't cross somebody. But she was from up north, and she came out of that room. She was furious. And she said, that man was rude. I said, what do you mean? He was rude. She didn't want to let it go. She did not let it go. I said, you need to go in and talk to him, because he said to me, he said, sir, that young lady, I hurt her feelings, and I need to apologize to her, because I was out of line. And I told Benita what I just said. I said, go on in there and let him talk to you. She said, I'm not going in. And it took a while for me to break that down and to talk to her. And finally she said, well, I'll go in. And then I saw her going in. She said, sir, she knocked on the door. And she stayed for about 5 minutes. Just enough time for him to apologize. And she came out. I said, don't you feel better? See, she let it go. I said, don't you feel better? She said, yes, I do. About 2 or 3 hours after that, that was cold blue. Everybody was going to the room. That man's room. She and I looked at each other. We sitting in our cart. We looked at one another. Now remember, she let it go, because she went in so he could apologize. But that same day, hours apart after he apologized, the man died. Pastor Bonita, aren't you glad you went in there so he could apologize? She said, I'm so happy I did. She said, I've had that to live with the rest of my life. How many of you know of someone Who have not let someone apologize to them, and then one day they're going to be snuffed out. Their life's going to be taken away from them. Then how would that person feel? Here's my last example. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, here's what Peter said. I'm going to take time to turn here. Let's see. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Now, notice this. In Mark 11:25, Jesus said, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And here's the last example I'm going to give about letting it go. My sweet mother, she passed on now and gone on to be with God, a faithful member of the Lord's Church at the Mars Hill Church of Christ. But I can recall before we became Christians, my older brother, my eldest brother, he was killed. He was murdered in St. Louis. And his girlfriend was involved. Well, he had two little children that he left behind. They brought the body back for the funeral. And Patricia, she was coming with the little girl, with the little kids, the little boy and the little girl, his kids. And when she was coming in for the funeral, I never forget it, because Mama set the best example. She set the example of a Christian to let it go. Even before she became a Christian, she set that example by letting it go. Here's what she said. She gathered all of us in the room. She said, "Y'all, Patricia is coming home with the little kids. Johnny's two little kids. She'll come home for the funeral. And I'm going to give her my bed to sleep in." Mama let it go. She forgave. She let it go. That's a hard thing for a mama to take someone who's grieving after participating in the murder of their child, to give up her bed for them to sleep in. Mama let it go. Mama recalled one time at the Millington Church of Christ where she attended in Tennessee. She said, "Baby, they were all sitting there talking in class about, I don't see how anybody can forgive someone. I don't see how God can forgive after killing his son. I just don't see how, I don't think I can do it." And I thought about what Mama went through. I said, "Mama, what did you say?" She said, "I didn't say a word." She said, "I just sat there and I listened. And I said to myself, you don't know what you'll do until you have to go through it." Mama let it go. I'm so thankful for her faithfulness, her generosity, her generous spirit to be able to set that example. Now you see why I let it go? We have to let it go. You have problems in your life? Let it go. You have problems with someone? Talk to them and then let it go. Turn it over to God. Are you struggling with some kind of temptation? Let it go. Turn it over to God. If you have difficulty of finance and you have difficulty of trying to keep food on the table and you're worrying over it, let it go. Turn it over to God. He's got it under control. Isn't that wonderful to know that he's got it under control? When Peter was walking on that water, because Jesus permitted it, and as he was walking on the water, he had his eyes on the Lord. And when he took his eyes off the Lord and he saw the waves and the boistering sea, he saw all of that around him and he started to sink and he cried out to God. He said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached in and grabbed him. You see, a lot of people, they don't let things go. They look around. They see the trouble around them. And when they see the trouble around them, that's when they start leaving the church. because they can't let it go. Who do we keep our eyes on? The Lord. Where do we start? Right here. That's who we keep our eyes on. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, now there may be some of you here that have not been baptized for the remission of your sin, like the Bible teaches. There are capable men and women right here able to study with you and to show you what you need to do in order to become a Christian. So if you're subject to the invitation and you have been discouraged, you have become a member of the Lord's church, and you need to ask for prayer, this is time to do it. Will you please come while we stand and sing?